In Acts chapter 27, we'll begin reading in verse number 20. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern, and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion of the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them to all take meat, saying, This is the 14th day that you've tarried, continued fasting, and having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the blessed word of God tonight. I thank you, Lord, for Liberty Baptist Church, Lord, the body that you've put together here, Father. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's come this way tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd, God, take the reins, God, of this message tonight, Lord, that you'd help us, God. You know what we stand in need of before we even ask or thank, God. And, Lord, we love you, we thank you, we trust you with everything tonight, Lord. And we pray your will would be done in this preaching tonight, God. I need your help, Lord. And I pray tonight, God, you'd touch me, Lord. I pray for Brother Ken, you'd touch him, Lord, that God, you'd save souls, God, to your honor and your glory. God, I pray, Lord, for Brother Jason out back. You'd touch and use him, Lord. Bless our young people, Lord. Help them, dear God, to grow, Lord, in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you. We thank you, God, for all you've done for us and all you're going to do, Lord. We bless your sweet name tonight. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested tonight. Back over, notice in verse 27, the Bible says we were driven up and down in Adria. About midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. Then in verse 29, he said, Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Now I want to preach just a simple message tonight on this thought. 4 anchors for the journey. I want you to know tonight we are heading somewhere. Each and every one of us tonight, we are facing eternity one day out in front of us. And I'm glad I can stand before you tonight and tell you I'm glad that I'm on the old ship of Zion tonight. I'm heading for heaven's shore. He passed by my way one day in 1974, first Sunday morning in March, and he invited me to get on board the old ship of Zion. Now, I'm not talking about a literal ship, but I'm talking about a spiritual ship. And I'm glad that when we get up here and sing that old song, the old ship of Zion, I'm glad I know what I'm singing about. I'm glad I'm on board that ship tonight. And I know this, according to this scripture right here, that we're going to hit some rough times as we go through life. In that song, that verse speaks about the old hull of the ship being bent and being battered. When we go through this walk of life, friend, we're going to have troubles. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have heartaches. There's going to be times when we don't know which way to turn and when we don't know what to do, friend. But I'm telling you tonight that old ship of Zion, she's still steady. She'll never go down. She's going through the storms of life. And I'm glad tonight that I'm on board that ship. And I'm glad tonight that I've got some anchors that I've cast out in my soul tonight. And I'm glad I'm applying them to my life. Every time a storm hits, I'm glad I've got something that's anchored to me that I can look to, that I can draw strength from, that I can get help through the storms of life. Whoa. Have you got any anchors tonight when the storm comes your way in life? Listen, I'm telling you tonight, friend, it's just a matter of time that something may hit down at your house. Something may hit down at my house. We look and we see people as we go through this life that things happen to them, and we pray for them. We have many names in the prayer room that we pray for people with cancer, people in the hospital beds, as people that has lost loved ones, and many, many different things that people go through in life. But what are you going to do when it hits down at your house? What are you going to do when it's your name on the prayer list? Have you got something to sustain you, to see you through the storms? Have you got any anchors in your soul tonight that'll carry you through, that you can draw strength from, that you can see through the storm to the other side? Oh, you're going to need some things in your life. Well, troubles is going to come your way sooner or later. And I'm glad tonight that there's some anchors for the soul that we can just draw strength from and we can trust in tonight. Ain't you glad you got some things that when trouble comes your way, that you hadn't got to just run to the preacher, and you got some things just down in your heart and in your soul that God comforts you with and gives you strength through. Amen? Amen. Four anchors for the journey. Let me give you these four little simple thoughts tonight. I want to say first of all that I know that I know that I know that I've got the Father's love on my journey towards home. Amen. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Listen, friend, Jesus loves sinners. I'm glad He does, because that's the way He found me one day, a lost sinner dying and heading towards hell, and He rescued me. And I'm glad that Jesus loves sinners tonight. I've got the Father's love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him." I'm glad He didn't say that just so good people that believe in Him could be saved, but I'm glad He said, "Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Boy, ain't you glad He put that verse in the Bible? I'm glad He said that Jesus didn't come to condemn us, but that the world through Him might be saved. I'm glad that God looks at all of mankind with love. I'm glad tonight that He's willing. He's not willing that anybody should perish, but He's willing to save anybody that would come to Him and believe in the work that He's done for them. Ain't you glad Jesus loves sinners? Ain't you glad that the Father's love is addressed to all mankind tonight? I'm glad He didn't bypass me one day, ain't you? Oh, He would have been just in bypassing me. Listen, let me tell you something. You wasn't worthy of salvation. You wasn't worthy of salvation. He didn't save you because you was good. He didn't save you because He thought you'd do good later down the road. But the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Our righteousness is filthy rags in the nostrils of God, friend. But He loves us. He loves us. Anyway, despite us, He loves us. Listen, if we had to merit our salvation tonight, we'd all die and go to hell. All die and go to hell. But I'm glad I've got a Word of God tonight, and I know through the Word of God that I've got an anchor of the soul, then it's my Father's love for me. I'll never be able to do anything to where God will not love me. I love Him because He first loved me. We ought to love Him for what He's done for us, for rescuing us from a devil's hell. And hell is real. Brother Ken preached a good message Sunday night about hell. And he told me that's what he preached last night up there, and them young'uns got saved. What a blessing. The Father's love. What about the presentation of His love? The Bible says when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That was you and that was me that was under the law. The law says we were guilty. The law says that we should die. The law said that there was no hope for you and me. But God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, perfect in His life. He was holy, harmless, sinless, undefiled. Let me tell you something, friend. I'm glad that He presented His Son for you and me. Sent Him into the world, knowing there was a cross awaiting Him, knowing that He was going to have to shed His blood, knowing that He was going to have all the sins of this world placed upon Him, who was holy, who was sinless, but He took our sins upon Himself. God presented His Son. What a great love God had for you and I, that He would do such a thing as that. The presentation of His love and the performance of His love. When Jesus marched up Calvary's hill, He was going up there to lay down His life. They didn't take His life, but He laid His life down that He might take it again. He might go into the grave, that He might carry His own blood into the Holy of Holies in heaven and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat there for you and for me. And on the third day, arise from the grave, friend, that the grave would have no power over you and me, that death would have no power over you and me. He did that for us. The Father's love. The presentation of the performance of it. But the proof of His love. Can you prove He loves you? I got proof. I can look in Ephesians chapter 2 and I can see proof. I was dead in trespasses. In sins. I was living an ungodly life. I was enjoying my ungodly life. I was going in the pool rooms, the bar rooms. I was gambling. I was making money. I was in love with the things of this world. And all of a sudden, God, in His mercy and in His love, He sent the Holy Ghost down there in the pool room and in the bar room. And He said, go in there and convict him of his sins. He's one of mine. With cords of love. He reached His hand into my life and He began to draw me, drawing me into Him. Oh, He said, oh, Holy Ghost, put the fear of God in him. And He did that just for me. Oh, He drew me out. And He saved my soul, friend. And I can testify tonight. Oh, listen to the Father's love, friend. I got proof tonight of the Father's love because He saved a wretch like me. Oh, I bless His name. Proof of His love. But there's also the permanence of His love. I want you to look in Romans chapter 8, if you want to. Romans 8 and 38. I'm talking about the permanence of His love. He tells us in the book of Jeremiah that He's loved us with an everlasting love. But Paul has this to say, and I kind of like it. He said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Oh, what's going to come tomorrow? I don't know. I got no idea. But I'm persuaded, just like the Apostle Paul was persuaded right here, that neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hey, I'm glad tonight that nothing's going to separate me from the love of God. The devil's not going to step between me and God and push us apart. I'm His and He's mine. I'm in His hand tonight. And listen, no man, nothing's going to pluck me out of His hand. I'm one of His tonight. If you're a child of God, you're one of His tonight, friend. And listen, friend, the love of God is permanent. I'm glad He don't just look at me and look at my faults and failures and come to a place one day to where He just judges me and says, well, I don't love Him no more. There's people that go through experiences like that in life. Maybe with a spouse. Different areas, different people in life. You could love somebody today and they could do something to you and you not love them no more. But you'll never do nothing to God to make Him not love you. You can grieve Him. You can hurt Him. But you'll never, never, never be able to say God doesn't love me. Never. Never. He's loved us with an everlasting love. Not only the presentation, the performance, the proof of His love, the permanence of His love, but the place of His love. I'm heading to heaven. I'll see Him face to face one day. Won't that be a day? We're heading that way. If we're saved, we'll see Him face to face. We'll be able to thank Him for the Father's love. Not only the Father's love, but the Son's labor. That's a good anchor. I'm glad Jesus is working for me today. Amen. And that's an anchor to my soul tonight. I know He loves me. I know He's looking after me. And things He's doing in my life. Listen, this thought of the Son's labor. Jesus said in John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Jesus was a worker. He wasn't scared of working. Matter of fact, He didn't have any idle time. I don't find that in the Word of God where He was idle at all. He had things on His mind, and the things of the Father was on His mind. He's told us in the Word of God that we need to work while it's day, for there's a night coming when no man can work. You better think about that and give it some serious thought. God has saved us for a purpose. God's letting us live here and breathe His good air for a purpose that He has for us. But I'm glad Jesus today, I'm glad He's a laboring for you and me. And I'm glad that we're laboring together with Him. We have His presence with us at all times. Isn't that something that Jesus has promised us that He'd never leave us nor forsake us? Jesus said in Matthew 28, all power is in heaven is given unto me, in heaven and earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And listen now, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Have you ever felt like that God was way off somewhere? Have you ever felt like that you couldn't get a prayer through? You felt like that you just separated from God? Well, that's a lie. Jesus said, I'll be with you always. Now, there's some things that can break fellowship. If we let sin get into our life, then it's no wonder that we get convicted and we wonder where God is and we got unconfessed sin in our life and we feel separated. Because He won't hear our prayers if we regard iniquity in our heart. But listen, Jesus is close as the skin on our body, friend. He's real and He's in us and He's working through us. The psalmist said, whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? No way for a child of God to be separated from Him. He's a part of us. He dwells within us. We have His presence as an anchor of our soul. We don't have to worry about Him going off and leaving us. He's laboring for you and I today. We have His presence. We have His power. Jesus empowers us. I'm talking about four anchors for the journey. I'm talking about the storms of life. You're going to need some power in your life when you face a storm. His disciples cried out to him one time in a storm and said, Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Have you ever wondered why he let you enter into a certain situation in life? Things that's come upon you and you might wonder why. Where are you at? Why don't you do something, Lord? You can look over in the Hebrews chapter number 11, and I want us to look there just for a minute. It'd do you good to read a few of these verses over in Hebrews chapter number 11. The Bible says in the latter part of that great chapter right there, it says that others, in verse 36, others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. Any of y'all faced any of that lately? We hadn't. But you know what, these people? They endured. They had the power of God in their life. They had an anchor of their soul that was sure and steadfast. They were able to face the things that came against them, all these afflictions, all the persecutions that they faced. Friend, we ain't faced nothing like they faced, but friend, we've got the same power to overcome the storms that come our way, the same power that they had to do it. Friend, if we'll just look to Him and look to His labor and the things that He's done for us, He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll be with you to the end of the world. We've got Him to help us. His labor, His presence, His power. What about His peace? The peace. We can have peace in the storm. When Jesus stepped out on the bow of that ship, He said, peace, be still. There was a great calm. Have you ever seen anybody in a storm in their life and you just wonder how in the world they handling what's upon them? You ever seen somebody going through something that you just wish to God never would happen to you, and yet they've got the peace of God on them? I've seen folks like that. And, you know, they have that peace that only God can give, that only the Lord can give to them. Jesus said, my peace I give unto thee, not as the world giveth. Not as the world giveth. The peace that Jesus gives, a peace of the soul. It's a peace that looks beyond the things of this world and looks toward another shore over there, realizing that one day we're going to land safely over there. That's a peace that passes all understanding, ain't it? Amen, it sure is. His peace. Paul was able to step out in the midst of that storm that he was in Acts 27. You know what he said? I believe he was hanging on to that boat. It was a rocking. It was midnight. It was pitch dark. He said, hey, boys, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I've got a word from God. The ship's going down. But listen, ain't a one of you going to be lost. Oh, I got news for you, friend, tonight that we ain't going down. We're going through the storm of life, friend, and we're going to land on heaven's shore one of these days. I'm glad I got some anchors of my soul tonight that I can rest upon. And I love the Lord tonight. I thank Him for His labor, for what He's done in my life all these years. I can look back and I can see the times that He helped me through different things in life, friend. The times that when I didn't even have sense enough to pray. Friend, another thing He's labored for is in prayer for you and me. The Bible says He ever lives to make intercession. You realize that the Holy Ghost and Christ is a praying for you? I wonder how many times we get slack in our prayer life. And through His love and through His mercy, He sees us going through life and neglecting Him, but yet at the same time, the Bible says that He's praying for us. He's interceding for us. Shame on us. We ought to always be thankful when we pray for what He's done for us and what He's doing for us. You know, if you could look through this day at how He's walked with you and overshadowed you and protected you just this day, you'd be astounded at what He's done for you today. If you could enter into heaven and listen to the groanings and the prayers that He's prayed for you, you'd be ashamed of yourself for not being more thankful for what He's done for you. But I'm glad I've got the Father's love and I've got the Son's labor. Another anchor I've got is the Holy Ghost that leads. I'm glad He moved in when hell moved out. I'm glad He lives inside of me. Listen, friend, He's a working with me on this journey toward home. First of all, let me say He's a working in me. He's teaching me things. When I got saved, I didn't know nothing about nothing. Nothing. I don't know if I could have showed you where Genesis is in the Bible. But listen, friend, since the Lord saved me, He's been a working in me. I give Him glory for every step of this way, the things that He's taught me. I remember the first time that I realized that I could pray and that He would give me understanding in the Word of God. I remember when I read a verse one time and I didn't understand a thing about it, and so I thought, well, I'll just try this thing of praying for understanding. I prayed. And I asked God to give me light of what I was reading, what I was studying. Boy, it was just like a switch flipped on there in a little bit. Boy, I thought, man, He heard my prayer. I've got somebody watching over me. I've got somebody that'll teach me some things about the Word of God tonight. And the Holy Ghost is our teacher tonight. Listen to me, friend. Get into the Word of God and study it. And let the Holy Ghost be your teacher tonight. He'll guide you into all truth, the Bible says. And what we need today in our churches, in our lives, in our homes is truth. 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 You ain't got to take somebody's word. He'll enlighten you. He'll give you some understanding of the things in His Word. The Holy Ghost that leads, He's a working in me. He's a witnessing through me. He said, you shall become witnesses for me after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses. We're either a good witness or we're a bad witness. Listen to me. You're either a good witness or you're a bad witness. But He wants us to be a good witness to Him. He wants to fill us with the Holy Ghost and with power to become a good witness to Him. Let me ask you this before I move on. When's the last time you asked Him to forgive you of your sins? Remember that? Well, listen. When's the last time you asked Him to fill you with the Holy Ghost? Let me ask you this. When's the last time you asked God to let you witness for Him? When's the last time you asked Him to send you to somebody that needs to hear from heaven? To some old lost sinner somewhere that needs a word? When's the last time you had a burden for some lost soul somewhere that's dying and going to hell just like you was one day? Oh, listen to me, friend. The Holy Ghost will lead you to witness if you'll just let Him fill you and use you. Not only is He working in me and He's witnessing through me, but He's a watching out and He's warning me. I noticed something after I got saved. The pool rooms, the bar rooms, alcohol, the things that was in my past. I mean, it was a lifestyle every day. But when my mind would go back to that and the temptation to go back to it, when it flared up, the Holy Ghost was there to say, no. No! No! He's watching out for you. He'll warn you. And I'm thankful that He's doing that. And it's an anchor to my soul tonight to have Him. The Father's love, the Son's labor, Holy Ghost that leads. But lastly this, Word of God that lasts. I'm glad I've got something sure and steadfast in this King James Bible. It's an enduring Word. Isaiah 40:8 says, "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever." That's a long time. Jesus over in Luke 21 said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away." I've got a Word that's enduring. Let me tell you, when this old earth right here is burnt to a cinder, friend, this Word right here will still stand. It'll still stand. It'll still get the job done. Let me tell you, friend, I'm thankful tonight that I've got a Bible. I'm thankful that I was born in America. I'm thankful that I wasn't born off in some nation somewhere in a foreign country where they taught this crazy junk that many people in this world are flocking to today. But I'm glad somebody told me the old, old story out of this Bible right here, out of the Word of God, the gospel truth, friend, that Jesus came into the world, that He died for sinners, that He rose the third day, He ascended to heaven, and thank God He's a coming back one of these days for His church. He's coming again. And I'm thankful that He is. Word that lasts, it's enduring, it's also effective. This Word that I'm preaching tonight, it's somebody in this building tonight it's going to have an effect on. I trust the Word of God that much. I know I stammer, I know I stutter, I know I'm the least among the least of preachers, friend. But friend, when I read a verse out of this Word right here, let me tell you what the Bible says. He said over in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my Word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." I'll rest my case on that. Amen. It'll go out. You either heed this Word. Brother Ken preached about hell and heaven Sunday night. That Word went out. It found a resting place somewhere. It found a resting place on somebody lost. And you know, if they don't heed that Word, if folks don't heed the preaching of this Word right here, this same Word, one day they'll stand in judgment. They'll be judged out of this Word, friend, whether they accept it or whether they reject it. This Word is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Oh, listen, I'm glad I've got a copy of the Word of God because it's enduring, it is effective, and it is essential. Essential. Oh, if people just realized how precious the Word of God is and how much we need it in our hearts and in our lives. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You read Psalms 119 sometimes and read about all the attributes of the Word of God, how precious it is and what it does for us. It's essential. Job said this, "I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job was saying this, "If I'm hungry, if I'm starving to death, there's a plate of food right here for the physical body set here, and the Word of God here." He said, this Word of God is more essential to me than the natural food that my body desires, it needs. See, friend, when it comes down to the end of the line, we all go out and meet God. You better have this applied to your life. You better have heard the gospel preached and accepted what Jesus has done for you in the old, old story. I'm glad I've got four anchors for the journey. I'm sure there's plenty more anchors in the Word of God. But I know I've got the Father's love. I know I've got the Son's labor. He's working for me today. Looking out for me. Praying for me. I've got the Holy Ghost that leads me. And I've got a Word from God that'll last. I can lean on it. I can rest my case. It'll help me through the storms of life. You got any anchors tonight? Have you got an anchor of the soul that's both sure and steadfast? Jesus is the anchor of the soul. Jesus wants to save you. Stand with us over the house tonight, if you would.